Brother Ed asked us before church started that if us brethren could help him out today. And he's not feeling well. I believe you. Did you catch something from Oklahoma City, Brother Daniels? Let's keep our pastor in our prayers. You know, it's a hard thing to pastor a church. Now, you might say, well, Brother Gary, how do you know? You've never pastored a church. I said, well, I know just like Brother Joe back there knows, we lived with a man that pastored a church. And we lived daily and saw the joy, the sorrow, the persecution, the stress that was put on a man that was trying to pastor a church. And you know, it can lift you up to the mountaintops, and it can pull you down all the way down to the depths of the earth. The Lord doesn't call weak men to preach his gospel. He knows what he's doing. He calls men that are strong. And I'm not necessarily saying physically strong, but they're strong in their character. They're strong in the ways that they deal with people. They have an understanding about the emotions of the Lord's people. And you know, that's why Christ come down and took on the being of a man. So he would know, he would suffer everything that we've suffered. He got tempted in every way that we've been tempted. But he was able to persevere and not succumb to the temptations of this world. You think you feel bad? You think there's something going on in your life that nobody knows about? Let me tell you, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows about it. Because he's been there. He took on the flesh. He was a man. He's called the man Christ Jesus. He knows your every care, your every trial. Nothing that can happen to you is news to him. Nothing. So when you go through persecution, trials, and tribulations, all you need to do is turn to him. Say, Lord, look at this situation I've got. Will you help me get through this? And you know what? He will, won't he, Brother Ed? He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the courage. He'll give you what you need. Now, we're flesh, and we don't always do things right. We'll get down in the dumps, and we'll say, save me, Lord. Get me out of this. And then once he does, what do? Are we like the one that went back to the Lord and thanked him for his deliverance? Are we like the others that just go on our merry, merry way until the tire goes flat again and we go back and open the trunk and pull Christ Jesus out of the trunk and say, look, I'm down again. Can you help me out again? You know, and because of our weaknesses and our flesh, he understands that, and he's there again. But what should we do? We should continually thank him every day for his salvation, for what he did for us. That should continually be on our minds. I was reading in the sixth chapter of John. Seemed like we've been in the sixth chapter of John a lot here lately, but that's okay. Long as within the scriptures of our Lord, it's okay. And I was looking at the 44th verse. Let's go first and read the 37th verse. This is pretty simple language. I believe that the two youngest young ladies in the congregation could explain this to you. 37th verse, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, how many are going to come to him that the Father gave him? Every one of them. All of them. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So he says, who cometh to me that the Father gave to me will come to me, and my arms are wide open. I'm not going to reject a one of them, because they're given to me of my Father. Did he put any requirements there? All that cometh to me, as long as they are always in church when the church is open, I won't cast them out. No, he didn't say that. As long as they live a life that would be honoring to my name, no, he didn't say that. He forgives us of those things, of our transgressions and our wrongdoings. 38th verse, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. If you want to know what the Father's will is, 39th verse, just read it. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So will all of the people that the Lord gave to Christ, will they all rise up in the last day? 80 of them going to be left out? They're all going to be there. And you know how blessed it is that we see this and we understand this? You know, there's people out today in the world that don't have the blessing that we have right now and don't really understand that. Does that mean they're not God's child or God's children? Definitely not. I mean, there are children of God out there that hadn't got the light yet that we do. So what are we supposed to be doing about that? We need to share the love of Christ that we have in our life with other people. How do you do that? Well, number one, you live your life in a way that be honor and glorifying to the Lord. And you know what? If you do that, people are going to come up to you and say, can I ask you something? You know, why, sure. Why do you have this love beaming out from you? Or what church do you go to? Or what have you got that I don't have? And you have an opportunity then to share with them about the love of our Savior Jesus Christ, of his grace. Now, you don't have to start with election and predestination. You know, you don't want to. It's part of it. But you just, they ask me what I believe. Oh, I believe in grace, that God, by his grace alone, saved us from our sins. And you know what everybody's going to tell you? Well, I believe that too. That's exactly what I believe. And I tell them, hallelujah. That's evidence that you're one of God's children, and it makes me rejoice. I said, I also believe that we're to take up our cross and follow him and live our life in the ways that we should. Well, I believe that too. And you can get on a common ground with them and start talking about the goodness of the Lord, and then ask them, why don't you come and see what we have over there on Shandon Avenue in Midland, Texas? We're simple folks. Well, I like that, they'll say. I like that. And we like to sing a cappella. Well, that's my grandma did that. How many people out there would be open to coming and sitting with you and sitting under the sound of the gospel? Y'all try it. I said earlier we were the A team. I didn't mean that any, you know, like there was nothing that y'all have done that's put you in that particular pinnacle of a place. We're not all superstars. We don't all bat 400. But I'm thankful for each and every one of you. As we were ministering yesterday to that family. And that's what we were doing. We were ministering to that family. And we were doing all that we could to help them and to minister to them and show them our love and our fellowship. You don't know how proud I was made to feel. Not a pridish proud, but it just made me swell up with love for each and every one of you as you each went about taking care of your duties. And there was nobody running the show. Everybody was just doing what needed to be done. And that was a good meal, too. And we got some of it's left over, and we're going to go eat it today after we get finished here. You know, let's look real quick at the 10th chapter of John. Twenty-fourth verse. Excuse me, my sinuses are just running everywhere. 10th chapter of John, 24th verse. Then came the Jews around about him, this round Christ, and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. So listen, we need some strong evidence that you're the Christ. How long are you going to make us doubt? And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. Why are you asking me that question? I've already answered that question. And you did not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not. Why do you reckon they didn't believe? Because they just hadn't been convinced yet? Or there hasn't been enough things laid out in front of them to move them in a way? But you believe not because you are not of my sheep. How would you feel if the Lord told you that? You're not following me because you're not of my sheep. If that happened to me, I'd fall down on the ground. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Do you believe that? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they're all one, and they work in unison. They all have, you know, different. The Holy Ghost comes to you sometimes in the middle of the night, the Spirit that talks to you and speaks to you. These are things I had on my mind, and I wanted to share those thoughts with you. And we're small in number, but we're solid. And what I mean by that is we're disciples of Christ, and we know what it is to serve the Lord. Do we need to get better at doing it? Yes. Yes, we do. We all need to strive to serve the Lord in the best way that we know how, with all the strength that we know how. And you know what happens to me? I might backslide a little bit or do something over here that, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. I can see it affect my life. I can see things come up. Little roadblocks get thrown up in front of me. You know, but it's almost instant that my mind says, I'm not to do this. I'm not to think this. My job is to serve the Lord, do exactly what I feel like he wants me to do, and keep my mind in that shape. And it's hard to do. And you know, this comfort comes over me. And problems that I have all of a sudden kind of disappear, dissipate. Does that happen to any of y'all? Have you had that happen to you? Okay, bless your heart. That's good. We're all sinners, aren't we? Yeah. Who is it? Is it you, Brother Joe, that pray for us sinners every time he asks you to? So, it's been a good weekend. We worked hard yesterday. I'm thankful that we have what we have at this church, that we have a group of people that love each other, that can come together and do the things that God can be done. I'm thankful for, I'm not going to start calling names, but some of you, you know, Sister Sue, she's so faithful to pick up Carla. It's a tough job. I used to pick her up, and when Sue started doing it, it was, you know, bless her heart, you know, and I'll help her out sometimes. But she loves doing that because she gets a blessing from it. Brother Joe and I love picking these boys up because we know that you're God's children by your action and by your eagerness to come and worship the Lord. You think Brother Chris has ever led a song before in his life? Is there any song that he cannot lead? There's not a song that he cannot lead. He has been among the Lord's people, and he's blessed the Lord's people with his countenance. And y'all know I got a special spot in my heart for some of the Lord's people. All of them, really, but then there's some that just kind of jump out at me. I said, man, that sure makes me remember some things and memories. I'm going to get out of the way. Brother Ed told me to call on whoever I wanted to come up. And
good morning.
Good morning.
And as always, as Brother Gary said, and y'all have heard me say multiple times, it's a humbling and scary thing to stand before the Lord's people up here and try to bring something that's both edifying to them and glorifying to God at the same time. So I would ask your interest in your prayers as I go forth and try to bring you something this morning. And at the same time, I would ask you to pray for our church and those here that we have set aside the cares and the worries of this world, and we have gathered here with God's people this morning for the right reasons to worship God. I believe that we are children of God, as evidenced by your presence here this morning and your willingness to listen and participate in worship. And I'm very thankful for that. And I had something else on my mind this morning that I was going to go to, but then I got to listening to Brother Gary, and it took me in another direction. So I'm going to do my best to bring that out, which came to me while he was talking. And, you know, we've looked at that before, that, you know, we are children of God and that we are his sheep, and he knows us and we know him. But something he was reading, it triggered me to go over to the second chapter of Ephesians this morning. And I got to looking at the 8th verse. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And to me, that's a very powerful statement. It is the gift of God. Not of anybody else, not of any man, but of God. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, you know, Brother Gary told us that, you know, we are here to do, we should be doing good works. But we have that understanding that none of our good works is going to get us to heaven. We understand that is a gift of God. And if you go on down in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, Brother Gary brought up, you know, if you, when you read there's a lot of mentions of heaven in the Bible, but not that many mentions of eternal heaven. A lot of the mentions of heaven are our heaven here on earth. And when you read about the kingdom of heaven, it tells you that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the only way that a child of God can have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is when he's walking with the Lord and doing the things that he's supposed to do. And when you're outside of that, like Brother Gary said, you feel it and you know it. And it's a bad thing to feel when you feel that weight coming down on you, because you know you're not walking in the way that you should be going, and you're not doing the things that you should be doing. And if you go on down and read, and this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and it's obviously one of my favorite books in the Bible, but wherein remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Jesus Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood offering. So those that were far off are made close by that blood offering. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He has rent that veil. He's went into the Holy of Holies for us one time. And I know we looked at, I guess it was last week, we looked at Hebrews, and we saw that and we read it. He went in for us into that Holy of Holies one times, and he took down that wall between us and God. And he is, you know, he's sitting on the right hand of God for us, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. And when, you know, we think about that he only had to do that one time. You know, it tells us that not that he would have to suffer often, but one time he did that for us. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So we don't have to go to anybody else, do we? When we pray to the Lord. And he goes to the Father for us. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And I really, one of the things that I keyed on this morning is on the 21st verse, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. And I look at us, and you know, we're gathered together here in this building, and you know, we look around, this building itself has problems, but you know, it's not necessarily talking about this building, it's talking about us. And we are fitly framed together as a people and as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, and when we're here together like that, and we're in worship, and you feel that Spirit. And I felt it this morning. I felt it yesterday. And I didn't really have a chance to talk to anybody about it. But I felt the Spirit of the Lord with us yesterday, because that was essential. That was a worship service. We were in worship to the Lord yesterday and saying goodbye to a sister and ministering, like Brother Gary said, to that family. And that was done in worship of the Lord and fellowship here together. And we were fitly framed together. And we're fitly framed together this morning. I sincerely believe that. And I sincerely feel that this morning. You know, I don't believe there are many coincidences in life, especially when it comes to the Lord's people. I think things are done for a reason. And the Lord guides us and directs us in the ways that we should go. You know, one of the things that I've talked about before is you look at the way me and Tracy wound up here. I truly believe that we were made to be here and to be part of this church family and be fitly framed together in the body of this church. Because we can sit down, we can talk about it one day over a cup of coffee, but it's the way that we were brought and led here was, you can ask Tracy, if you can't see the Lord in that, then something's wrong with you. Because it was an amazing experience for us getting here. Not just tearing down the power line out there, but I don't know, I think everybody here knows that story. Maybe not, but the day that Tracy and I pulled up here as a first time here as a whole family that we were here, I drove the U-Haul all through the night, or the Penske truck. We left Louisiana about 8 o'clock at night, and we got here about 10 o'clock the next morning. I called Brother Gary and told him, "Hey, we're gonna come on to church. Y'all have us, and we're in our traveling clothes, and we're kind of we're not cleaned up, and we don't have anything really nice on." He's like, "Oh, come on." So we got here, and we had a wonderful service that morning. Then we got ready to leave, and Brother Gary just told me, just whip around the church. Well, we didn't take into account that power line that was hanging about 14 or 13 feet above the ground, and that truck was about 14 foot above the ground. So I ripped the power line out of the church. And that was my first day here as a family in Midland. Is we tried to kill ourselves and destroy the church. But even that worked out fine. And then it's just the love and the blessings that we have received from being here in this church family is beyond words. And you feel the Lord working in you when you're here, and you feel the Spirit of the Lord with us this morning. And that's part of being fit together as His people. There's more. If you go down through Ephesians, there's just so much more in here that talks about that. And I'm not going to get into all of this morning. I know Brother Ed still has something on his mind he wants to bring out this morning. But I am going to jump over to the fourth chapter for just a minute. Fourth chapter in the first verse. "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling." You know, we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And, you know, many of us, we have different callings and different responsibilities here in the church. But we all work to the best of our abilities with what we have to do what we need to do. And it's like Brother Gary was saying yesterday, we did what needed to be done. There was no necessarily a rhyme or reason to it, but we all knew what we needed to get done, and it got done. It works, and it works for us. But if you go down, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." And we know we don't all have the same gifts and the same degree of ability to do things. But what's important is we use what we have been given to the best of our ability for the glory of the Lord. And there's so much more in here this morning that if you haven't really read and studied this, I'd challenge you to go home and read this. I had a couple more verses marked and that go back to what we talked about being a body fitly joined together. And over in verse 16, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that's kind of what we were saying, by which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. You know, everybody working together and edifying, working for the right reason, for the glory of the Lord, and edifying itself in love. And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding, but you know, we have that understanding, as Brother Gary had said. We see what some of the other people don't see, that we know our salvation was by grace and by nothing else. Like I said, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we know this was done for us, and we know that we are His, and nothing will ever separate us from the Lord. You know, we've read that over in Romans many times, that, and we know that He's never going to lose one of us, because we are His children. So we have peace in that, and knowledge, peace in that knowledge, and then we have peace in the knowledge of knowing that we have that kingdom here on earth for us to walk in. And we have that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit that we can experience here in through our love of Christ. So I'm going to leave you with that this morning, and I'll turn it over to Brother Ed.
I'd like to look at something in the book of Acts. In the 21st chapter of the book of Acts. And Paul, in his travels, he's headed back to Jerusalem. And it says, and as he tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him, referring to Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. Now, that's significant in itself, that you've already been prophesied that you're going to a place that they're going to take you and they're going to bind you. And they're going to do things to you. But the persuasion of Paul, the commitment of Paul, was that not only was he prepared to be bound for that, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but that he was also committed to die. And if you look at Paul and you're reminded of Paul, he was the one that was binding and putting in prison Christians before he became a Christian. There's a lot of things going on in my mind about that, but there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly, and the day following Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law, and they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore, the multitude must needs come together? For they will hear that thou art come. And the thing that I woke up the other morning, and my thought was in different places about, like for example in John, where it says, I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And the thought came to me, well, that's what we ought to do. What should we ought not to do? And I started looking at ought not. And this particular verse kind of it put a bit on me, because the Apostle Paul, here he's accused of, by one persuasion of the faith, that he's teaching something that is contrary. And they informed him of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Now, it's my belief that in a sense, yes, that's what he was teaching, but he was saying that the circumcision in the heart and the performance of that circumcision was made by God. And in Corinthians, I want to look at that, because if you look at what Paul's teaching was you can gather exactly what he's saying there, or what that ought not teach. And I think it's in the 7th chapter here. He says in the 1 Corinthians 7th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at the 16th, For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. How How are you called? I grew up in the church. Brother Gary grew up in the church. There are those that have not grown up in the church. And yet, in a sense, we sometimes look on them differently when they are God's children. They are called of God. They are His children. And what I'm getting out of this, and I may be incorrect, but what I'm getting out of this is that we should look at God's children as being God's children. I've taken up way too much time, and God bless y'all.
I probably won't take much time this morning. I don't have enough voice to take very much time. But I thank all of you who were here yesterday for the funeral service. And I appreciate very much the service that was given to the family. It's very easy for a church to get its focus in the wrong direction. People sometimes come to church and say, well, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, my question is, did you put anything into it? And I say that in all sincerity because I've had the wonderful, blessed experience to know a few people through my lifetime that it didn't make any difference how things went. They always said, wasn't that wonderful? Now, if they felt that way every time, and I didn't feel that way every time, they had a leg up on me. They went there to serve the Lord. And they were served. And the Lord Himself said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And as we come to that point, I want to just mention something. And I'll just lay out a few verses for you to study. And this I've been thinking about for some time. And when I tell you what I would like to present to you, and I'd love to have about an hour and a half, but if I had 5 minutes, I probably couldn't handle it. That the subject of water, you say, well, why such a simple thing as water? Because the water in many places in the scriptures is indicative of the Spirit. Okay? You say, preacher, you sure about that? Yes, I am. I'm very sure about that. And what I have is in complete accord with what's gone before. Ezekiel chapter 36. The prophet Ezekiel says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart. Let's back up to verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. Now, that's Ezekiel chapter 36. If we come to the New Testament, we come to one of the most disputed chapters there is in the New Testament, and that's John chapter 3. John chapter 3, Nicodemus is having a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ tells him, you must be born again, Nicodemus is very confused, and the Lord tells him, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou canst hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit of God. And Nicodemus has one of the most absurd answers to that I've ever read anywhere. And he said, how can these things be? Now, when you stop and think, the Lord has just said the wind blows where it pleases. And you can hear where it's, you can hear it, but you can't tell from where it's coming. You can't tell when it's coming. You can't tell where it's going. But you see the evidence of it. And he's saying, so it is with everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. But then he goes further and he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And there are individuals who will teach, well, you must be born of the Spirit and you must be baptized. That's the water under consideration. But hear me carefully. Let's examine that Greek word. There's a little Greek word in there, of born of water and of the Spirit. That Greek word is kai. That Greek word kai is translated and. It also can be translated even. Okay. Exact same word appears in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul writes that church, establishing them in the doctrine of the resurrection of these bodies, and he tells them, he said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom unto God, even the Father. It's the exact same Greek word. And what I'm saying to you is when it said, except a man be born of the Spirit and of the water, he means Spirit, even the Spirit. Okay? In other words, he's born again from above. He's born with the Holy Spirit regeneration. It has nothing to do with being baptized. And further along that line, let's go to John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, and I was wondering if one of the brethren would get to John chapter 7 as they were at 6 and 10. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Well, did you hear what he just said? He said, let him come unto me and drink. You recall the conversation the Lord had with that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? When the Lord tells her, if you had asked me, I would have given you living waters to drink. Is he talking about literal water? No, he's not. He's talking about his spirit. Okay. Now, when this happens, he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Parenthesis, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, what he's telling you right there is, now, to just make my point as clear as I can in this situation, how absurd would it be to see a man walking down the street and he's got a fountain of water pouring out of his belly? You say, preacher, that doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't. But what he is telling you is that we as God's people, where we're in the dark for a moment, we as God's people have the Spirit of God, and from time to time we have the privilege of ministering of that Spirit to others of God's people. That was the whole purpose of the service that we held yesterday, to comfort that family with the Spirit of God, with the love of God, from God's Word, which He's given to us. Now, I want to recall to you a circumstance that happened to me many years ago, and I say in all sincerity, when we, and all of us have had this experience of going to church, and it was all truth, but we kind of felt a little empty. There wasn't what we were looking for. And I recall a time that I went to the West Texas Association. Now, many of you have been to the West Texas Association, some of you haven't, but that was always supposed to be a good meeting, a big meeting, and numbered in the hundreds in attendance. And it was Saturday night. I had been there since Thursday night. And as far as I was concerned, their truth had been taught, but there had not been any spiritual preaching to me, to my soul. And they called out two names that I knew and I had great confidence in, because I'd heard both of those men preach wonderfully in the past. Well, yours truly said, well, we're going to hear some preaching tonight. But when those two brethren both fell flat on their face, I said, as I was doing some homekeeping, I said, you know, I didn't pray for either one of those brethren. I didn't pray for either one of those brethren. Now, was the fault theirs? No, it was mine. I'm certain there were people there who got a great deal of good out of what those men taught, but yours truly didn't. And the next time that we're dry, let us seek the Lord, okay? And seek His Spirit. And yours truly is not feeling well. I'm going to have to make a trip to the boys' room, and we will forego the handshake today. I don't think it's contagious, but it could be. Brother Gary, would you dismiss with prayer?